thanks to LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, it's not news when a talented high schooler skips college and heads straight to the NBA. But it was not always like that. Until 1971, the NBA had a four-year rule. Players had to wait 4 years after graduating high school before they could play pro ball. Then a Seattle Supersonic went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court to challenge the NBA for the right to go pro straight out of high school.
In 1970, my mother was still picking cotton in Silver City, Mississippi for $2 a day, 12 hours a day, with a 100-pound sack. Her back had went out because that's all she has done since she was 3 years old. And so I was trying to get my mother out of the cotton field. So that's how the whole case started.
That is former Seattle Supersonic Spencer Haywood. The team's owner, Sam Shulman, ignored the NBA's four-year rule and signed Haywood to the team. Haywood challenged the NBA for the right to play, and his Supreme Court victory paved the way for generations of NBA stars to turn pro straight out of high school. Spencer Haywood told me that his court fight got nasty.
Well, I could not have challenged that case any other city because Seattle was a nurturing place. It cared for me. The people cared for me, and they loved me. And I don't care what was being printed out at that time. The Seattle people just lived and died with them some Spencer Haywood in this case. So
you don't think that was just you being a hometown sports hero? There was something different about Seattle than the rest of the racially torn-up country?
No. Seattle was just totally different. And I had came up from Mississippi to Detroit, and I went to high school there. Seattle was just this, it still is to me, this place that you have harmony of all races of people, and it's a good place to raise your children. And here I am, a young man of 20 years old, being raised by this great city and surrounded by water. I'll tell you a story. When I came in from my first visit to Seattle, this is the first time I've ever seen Seattle, and I saw it from above, and I said, this is a postcard. I wonder if the people would be that great on the ground. And so when we got on the ground, the press conference came about, and one of the press contingency says to me, oh, you're going to love it up here. You're 20 years old. You're going to have a lot of young women up here for you. And I said, but I haven't seen any black women. He says, no, it's not like that here, sir. So there was the answer that I was like, oh, okay, yeah, thank you.
You mentioned that Seattle wrapped its arms around you. Is there another story you can think of that really hits you about your time in Seattle?
Well, yeah. Well, when I would come in from the case, I hadn't taken an apartment or nothing, so I stayed in the Westin Hotel there. And when I would just go up into the room, and I would just be crying and crying and crying, and I had room service come, and the room service gentleman told me, said, wait a minute, you know, you're doing something so significant. Keep your head up. Don't cry. Don't feel the pain. We will get you through it. And I always felt that way about Seattle, that you would get me through. So I learned a lot about people at that time.
I want to make sure I understand. What were you crying about that day in Seattle?
I mean, the pain of going through this, man, when people throwing bottles at you on the court and hitting you, and then you have a team. I come out of the locker room and walk out on the floor, and they stand in protest and walk off the floor and left me up there all alone to take all of that brutal beating. And my teammates, we were like, is this some madness or what?
Why were they so upset about your court case?
Well, because, you know, you had all of those people were affiliated with certain universities. And the university system had deemed me the devil. And that's how they portrayed me. And they would hit me in my stomach and hope that I would fight back. And, oh, it was so brutal.
We're talking with former NBA star Spencer Haywood, former Seattle Supersonic. Since you won that Supreme Court case, we now have great players going to the NBA right from high school, as you know. But that also means that middle school kids are living as if they might be in the NBA in 3 years. How healthy is that for these kids?
not healthy. I understand that players should be thinking of the NBA or thinking of professional, but I think it was maybe 10 years ago, we had the first six picks were out of high school, and not one of them made it. I saw that was a tragedy. Guys who are 19 years old who can play but can't really play because their bodies haven't developed. So when they get on the floor, they hurt. And also, when you go into the locker room, you see that the oldest player is maybe 24, and there is no balance in the locker room. You have no veteran in there talking about, well, these are the things you got to do.
How do you feel about paving such a dangerous road for kids less skilled than you were who might fail and not be ready to handle that failure?
I think it can be rectified if the NCAA, the NBA, and the players' union come together with some kind of understanding that we need to do something about this. And then also, the NCAA is going to have to look at making players who play in these high octane universities and sports system that they might be state employees or university employees. So it means that you have to pay some of that $1.6 billion to the players, or you have to develop an insurance policy that covers those players, the football players as well, because the NFL uses the Spencer Haywood rule as well.
Yeah, you mentioned football. We've been seeing here with Bellevue High School football, best high school program in Washington State, coaches are now accused of having athletes take classes at a private school in a strip mall so they can be eligible to play at Bellevue High. How uncomfortable are you with high school's focus on pro sports?
Well, that is the time we live in because it is a job. It is a business. You know, the student athlete was the design of some great guy back in 1956. We will never call them just athletes. They'll be student athletes. So the student part of it is a little wishy-washy, and because it is a business. And we don't want to look at that as a business, you know?
Right. We want something more pure.
I know. We love that purity.
We love the idea of it.
That's where my problem came in. I was doing the unpure thing. I was leaving college. Oh, my gosh. And I remember Thurgood Marshall, who heard my case at the Supreme Court. He said, son, you're going to be ostracized for years to come. And I looked at him like he was like, what is this old man talking about? Is he crazy? They're going to love me. The players are going to like say, ooh, what a savior. Because a guy like LeBron and Steph Curry, man, he helped me earn $100 million more for four extra years. I'm going to love this guy. And lo and behold, they have no idea who I am. And when they mentioned my name, he's like, he was a troublemaker. And I'm like, yeah, right. This movie bringing history to life for the Seattle people in Seattle, so they'll know to fight for getting a team in Seattle, because you are the history of the NBA. And we still arguing on whether we should have a team? Lord sakes. I mean, come on, city council, come on.
You heard about that, huh?
Yeah, it's scary to me. Like, what are you doing? Guys, I'm saying this to all of us in Seattle. Step up.
How are you stepping up? Gary Payton says he wants to be a part owner of the Seattle Sonics. What about you and him and Sean Kemp and Jack Sikma and Lenny Wilkins and Detlef Schrempf? Dream team.
That's a dream team, isn't it? Yeah.
Would you want to get involved in a Sonics team?
I went out of my way and called Chris Hansen and said, look, you guys can't leave me out of this deal now. You have to come to the original source, and I am the original source. So now we all are getting on the same page to make it happen. We cannot play around anymore. We can't be so analytical, you know, because you know how we are in Seattle. I mean, we have the best educated people in America. and everything becomes so analytical.
Processy?
Yeah, there you go, that word. So we don't do like, you know, well, hey, we got to have a team back. Let's do it. Here. Oh, no, let's study it. Let's put it on the board, make sure it's just right. You know, please. So this movie gives you the opportunity to see what the battle was, who you are in history of NBA basketball. You know, my jersey is sitting over there in mothballs, too, which was hanging in the old arena there. Mm-hmm. So we would love to have all that back. But if you don't get the name, we need a team there immediately. And I know people have said to me on the down low, like, you know, Memphis and everyone else, God, I would sure like to move to Seattle. Everybody wants to move to Seattle, you know. So we have to move on Seattle. And we all need to unify and come together with this great idea of bringing our treasures home to Seattle.
Sounding confident about a Supersonics return to Seattle or environs, that is former All-Star Spencer Haywood. Supersonics legend of the early and mid-1970s, when my 7-year-old self would run up and down my hallway pretending there were two baskets when really there was only one over the laundry room door, and I would pretend to be the greatest players in the NBA, including Spencer Haywood and Jack Sickman and downtown Freddie Brown. The story of Spencer Haywood's U.S. Supreme Court fight to challenge the NBA's 4-year rule is called Full Court, and it just had its premiere at the Seattle International Film Festival.